Hello, and welcome back to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime using the free episode rule. I'm your host, Nikki, and joining me are Ace.
Hello.
And again, just Ace. Unfortunately, due to more scheduling errors, we were unable to get Rhodes, which also means we were unable to get him back from his isekai wrestling adventure. He's doing well for himself, though. He's got a little party going, won a couple of battles. Not quite too sure if he's going to win over the Demon Lord, but we'll see what happens. And then he'll come back and tell us about how much he hated it. He doesn't like isekai. Today, we are talking about Battle Game in 5 Seconds. This is a series based on a web manga that has been produced by Synergy SP and Vega Entertainment. Synergy SP have worked on shows such as Initial D Final Stage, The Eighth Son, Are You Kidding Me?, and Beast Saga, whilst Vega Entertainment have worked on shows such as Cosmo Warrior Zero. It's an action supernatural series with 12 episodes, and it's rated PG-13. On the note of the age rating, just an FYI, this is a show about people killing each other. It's kind of a battle royale. We'll get into it. But just a heads up that there's quite a bit of violence. There's and the second episode especially has just a straight up pervert in it. So just, yeah, viewer discretion is advised a little bit if that's kind of not your thing. And some of the characters, they're not super young, but they're kids. So if kids beating each other up is not your thing, then, you know, maybe this isn't for you. I suppose the best way to maybe sum this up is it kind of has a bit of a battle royale slash Danganronpa vibe. So Battle Game in 5 Seconds, as it sounds, it's a battle game, but not battles lasting 5 seconds, which is what I thought it was. No, what happens is the show starts and we see our protagonist, Akira, who is basically just an edgy gamer who wants a challenge, wants to, you know, be able to really put their brain to good use. Then gets attacked by a person? Big question mark there. It's just this hulking person that comes out of a van and is like roaring at them and just determined to kill them. I was going to say hijinks follows. Stuff follows. And the kid ends up killing them. And we get another character who appears who is a cat lady, shoots Akira, and then Akira wakes up in a room full of completely random people all handcuffed. And that's when they're then told that they've been brought to some sort of unnamed institution where they've been Drucken from the records, they no longer exist in society, and they've all been given strange powers where they now have to fight each other as sort of a weird test of all these powers. What are these powers? They manifest in a range of different ways. We've got people who can turn their arms into cannons, people who can turn invisible for a few seconds, people who can turn a stick into a sword. It's weird and wacky things, and yeah, from here, it's a fight. The Battle Game in 5 seconds is just a reference to the fact that when a fight's about to begin, there is a 5 second countdown where then the handcuffs that essentially stop them using their powers will then turn off and then they can use their powers. So it's 5 seconds to the fight, basically. And yeah, I'm not really too sure where to begin with this one because it's weird. The setup, as I just mentioned, Akira, the main character, is just like super edgy. You know, everyone in the show is angry. Everything's just kind of crap. And now they're all just told to fight for their life. And it's just weird. And the second episode, especially, where it just decides to focus on the sort of bad life that one of the girls has had, is just really awkward and uncomfortable to watch. As I mentioned, there is a literal pervert in the episode. And it just goes places. But then by the third episode, they're like, all right, time for team tournament arc. And it suddenly becomes quite interesting. And I'm not really too sure where to go from here.
I would like to address the visuals, because there are several characters who have who wear an item of clothing, which is a repeating pattern. There's a camouflage colouring on one of the characters, for instance, and that is animated separately to them. And it bugs me because it just looks so out of place. One of the characters has a bandana, the girl who can increase her power four times, her skirt's got this same repeating pattern, but it's the same animation style, and it just looks so out of place. It's not shaded the same as everyone, as all the people. I just couldn't concentrate on the show when any of these repeating patterns were on there. Also, the way that the look of all of the characters seems like they're from different anime. Like the guy who can turn a stick into a sword looks like he's from One Piece. And there's this guy who straight up looks like Lupin the Third, the guy who can turn a button into a piece of rope. I'm not sure what they were trying to what decision prompted them to make everything look so weird.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually, because like the sort of host, if you will, of the battles, the cat girl, kind of almost looks like they've come out of something like Soul Eater. And the point that you were just making in regards to the way like some of the patterns are done, it's almost like rather than have the texture of the item of clothing actually drawn and have the painstaking animation, it's almost what they've done essentially, at least this is in layman's terms, is basically just mask that area and then underneath of that layer just have the texture across the whole screen. So it's like there's just like, it's like the item of clothing isn't there and it's just moving across.
It's something they used to do, I think, in Jendy Trotkowski Cartoon Network shows like Powerpuff Girls, where there'd be just this, like, a tartan, a character who's wearing a kilt, there's this tartan and the person's moving all around, but you can see that the pattern is just stationary because they're moving around on the background. Like you say, they've masked around it. It's just so distracting to me.
Yeah, it's a common animation technique, but yeah, it really stands out on this show. And again, all the characters, you said, they do kind of have a different vibe to them. They all feel like they've come from different shows, which is funny because obviously, although it's a weird gathering of characters, and they're all very, very different, as far as we are aware, they are all from the same universe. I mean, the show could reveal in like a later episode that there's actually an isekai tournament, and I'd be perfectly fine with that.
I'm serious, guy, about this guy who looks like Lupin the Third. Just seriously, look at him side by side. It is Lupin the Third. He's been brought into this anime.
Getting back to the plot for a second, once they basically get told, like, you know, the situation, they get sent to their like own little cell where they get to find out what their ability is and time and waiting until their like first one-on-one battle. And the end of the first episode, you know, Akira goes into his first battle and it's against the guy who can turn a stick into a sword. And we're not really, like, it's kind of left a bit like, ooh, what's Akira's power? And it seems as though maybe he doesn't have a power. He's a bit worried, but the cat is, you know, speaking to their companion being like, oh no, they've got a really good one. And it's revealed at the end of the episode that, you know, his power is, because it looks like he has the arm cannon. Turns out, so that's not quite the case. His power is whatever the opponent thinks his power is. So he led this guy to believe he had the arm cannon so he could use it. And, you know, we see a bit more of, well, we don't see more of his power in the first three episodes, but we see his thought process behind it. It's like in the second episode when, you know, they're introduced to their other four teammates. They all start sharing each other's powers. And he's thinking about this in a very logical way. I mean, you know, his big gamer brain. In that, you know, should he reveal his power? If he reveals what his power actually is, and the guy he fought is there, so he commits to, like, it's the arm cannon. And so these other people are like, oh, arm cannon. But it's interesting to hear his thought process, like, as... I mean, obviously, he's the protagonist. He's going to be the, quote, smartest one there. But there's a lot of... It's why I kind of feel there's a little bit of, like, a Danganronpa vibe to this. It just, one, in the art style, and two, in the kind of the setup, it is very much just, like, wacky power quirk, if you will, and everyone... Because by all accounts, everyone is... I want to say they're on an even playing field, but they're not, because, you know, we find out one person's like a professional fighter, one guy, or the pervert, you know, made a point of bulking up for pretty creepy reasons. You know, there's all sorts of people there, so they're not on, there's even school kids. They're not, like, on an even playing field, but, you know, by all accounts, they're all human, and now they've all got these weird and wacky powers. Like, one of the girls we find out has the ability to copy someone else's ability, which is awesome. Although I'd love to, like, how does that, like, I want to know how that's going to work with Akira's ability. Like, if his ability is what they think his ability is, and then this girl copies it, how does that work?
Yeah, does she copy the thwarted? That's not a word, but...
The thwarted.
Does she copy what the power turns out to be, which is, yeah, it's that's a complicated mess. But there is a caveat with her power that she can only copy it with 10% of the usefulness, because the fighter can make himself invulnerable for 2 seconds, and the girl decides, oh, I'll just give up this fight because I can only copy his power for half of a second.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I guess this show in a way is just basically a generic battle royale, but with at least for the most part, characters seem to be a bit logical. Not all of them. Some of them are just a bit like, I'll just fucking kill my way out of this. Some are trying to be a bit deceptive. But at least in the first three episodes, we get an idea that like everyone's at least giving it some thought. Even in the second episode where the woman who's in her 90, you know, reveals to have a very deadly ability. Even then, she still proclaims that the only reason she kills someone is because, well, they said they have an ability that could have killed me. So there's a little bit of like, I won't say not psychology, but like there's a little bit of thought behind everyone's actions, which is at least interesting. It's not just, well, boy, time to kill.
She does immediately show her true colors by trying to strangle her teammate.
Oh, yeah. She's an interesting character.
That's one way to put it. I thought the second episode was very slow moving for, you know, a fight anime.
Yeah, so the first episode, I was like, okay, I see this is the premise of the show. The second episode, I'm not going to lie, I almost turned it off because, as mentioned, it's quite an awkward and uncomfortable episode. And they really drag out the fact that, like, look, this girl had a really bad time and all these bad things kept happening. And now that she's got to fight this pervert, and it was just really uncomfortable. But the third episode kind of brought it back. But I'm assuming, obviously, we got that introduction because she's like the sort of second protagonist. That's the impression I get. But at the same time, it's like, you didn't have to do this. Like, this is so slow.
In general, I'm not really affected by that sort of thing, but I also almost turned off the episode. So I admire your ability to push through.
Admittedly, I was watching the dub.
I was watching the sub.
Yeah, so I was kind of half paying attention to the second episode because of the dub. The dub is quite good, I will point out. The voice actress for the cat girl is phenomenal, both in the dub and the sub, so I went back and checked.
Oh yeah, she's great in the sub.
Oh, she's fantastic. But yeah, it's...
In the dub, it's an arm cannon, is it? Ability.
Yes.
Is that what it's called? Okay. In the sub, it's called the turn your hand into a cannon ability.
She might have said that at one point, but then it just becomes the arm cannon later on.
They said turn your hand into a cannon ability every single time, and it was just driving me nuts. Such a mouthful, does not roll off the tongue. But yeah, the premise is certainly interesting, and yes, I almost turned off at the second episode, but the third episode did go some way towards enticing me towards watching more, potentially. But yes, it's really hard to summarize because the stuff that isn't fights is kind of boring. There's a lot of talking heads because they're all locked in rooms, or it's flashbacks in the second episode case, or it's just talking before fighting in the third episode, which is, again, just stood around talking heads in a single location. I did think when first looking into this show at the start of the season, I thought it'd be a case of there's these people wandering around Tokyo, and when they see you Pokemon style, they'll run at you and you have to fight them 5 seconds after seeing them. I did not see this whole kidnapping people at random and locking them in a facility together.
Do you know, yeah, and to be honest with you, like, I almost feel that would have maybe been a better setup. Just like, maybe they all get like told, hey, you've all got these abilities, but like it's all random, and like it just goes full battle royale, but it's just in the city and like there's a civilians and stuff.
It also, as you said, the first episode starts with this kid fighting this, I don't know, mummy, whatever he was, and that kind of showed what it could have been if it wasn't all set in this one facility.
I've also just realized that what we've basically just described is essentially the premise of Future Diaries.
I've not seen that one.
Pretty much the same setup. It's just a battle royale, but it's in public spaces, if you will. But everyone no one has a power. They have like their own skills, but like the gimmick in that is that everyone has a phone that like tells them the future. So they get like a vague idea of what might happen. Battle Game in 5 seconds is, I don't really know even how to sum up, other than that it's a battle royale that's a bit edgy. because had the third episode, so for example, if the third episode had been the second episode, or maybe the second episode had just been a very short flashback, I think it'd be easier to recommend. But because the second episode is just so uncomfortable and so slow, it's very difficult to say, hey, watch the first three episodes. The first episode doesn't really give you enough of an idea of what the premise is, but the third episode really kind of brings it back a little bit. So I think, like, it's one of those shows where I think, like, unless battle royales are really your thing, then, yeah, I don't know. It's a hard sell.
Oh, I just want to address the opening credits, because we haven't actually seen this guy yet, but in the opening credits, you see one of the, I assume, antagonists, because it's this guy who's, like, in a suit, wears glasses, and he's obviously a villain, because he is so obviously styled as an anime villain. Like, the looks he gives when he pops up in the opening credits, it's just, yeah, I hate you already.
Well, I don't think we've really got much else we can say on this one. We're kind of getting to our conclusions. So, as we always do, we like to give a show a thumbs up, thumbs down, or a meh based on the first episode. So, Ace, what's it going to be from you?
It's a meh from me. It was going to be a thumbs down, but then that third episode brought it back up. If the second episode hadn't been, as you say, such a downer, such a drawn out long episode with a really icky section in it, then it might have been a thumbs up. But yeah, it's a meh.
I think for me, it's a borderline thumbs down meh, purely because of that second episode. The third episode, I'm looking forward to seeing how the one-on-one fights conclude, watching more episodes. If it sort of goes up from here, I think it could be quite good. But if it keeps jumping back to the sort of stuff that happened in episode two, then I don't know. We'll have to see. Again, I think, like, you know, a lot of these characters aren't, you know, they're not nice people. They're all kind of a bit scummy in a way. That's probably the best way to put it, actually. Yeah, there's just some stuff you don't really... It's just uncomfortable. We were able to get a carrier pigeon message from Rhodes. Not too sure how that works across, you know, isekai-ness, but it's fine. Don't worry about the fine details. He also gave a myth for this for very similar reasons as us. But yeah, I think that'll do that for today. Thank you for joining me, Ace. And as always, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Pals Anime Lounge. If you like the show, then why not subscribe on Stitcher or Spotify? You can also enjoy video versions of each episode on YouTube. Just search for the Pals Anime Lounge to find them. As always, we release new episodes every Thursday and Saturday at 8 p.m. UK time, so check back to where you're listening to this one to catch the next one.